There are some Shabbases where you just know there's going to be a big crowd in shul. And this is one of them. It's Parsha Zachor. Everybody's got a mitzvah. They got to hear it. Even people that don't normally come to shul. Children will come. Women with little children will come. Everybody makes the effort to come to Shabbos. But what is Parsha Zachor all about? What is Shabbos Zachor all about? What are we remembering? So we know that we're remembering the idea of Mechiyas Amalek. What is that? Amalek sought to destroy us in the desert. So God says you have a obligation forever, right? Zachor is Asher Asaloch Amalek, but there it says Chem Mitzayim. You have to remember what Amalek did when you were leaving Egypt. So that's it. You have to machot Timchet Zechar Amalek. You're going to destroy the remembrance of Amalek. Okay, fine. So the question becomes a little bit complicated because it's not so simple that Amalek wasn't destroyed. It's possible that Amalek was destroyed, and certainly at this point in history, whatever Amalek is long gone. So why is it that this Shabbos specifically, we need to reflect on what Amalek did, remember, and take care of it? So I think to understand why we pick this Shabbos, the Shabbos before Purim, I think we have to recognize one thing. First off, there's a loose connection between Amalek and between Haman. Haman is Haman ben Hamdata Ha'agagi. So we're told, what does that mean? Ha'agagi is an Agagite. Who is an Agagite? Haman is from Agag, the king of Amalek in the times of Shaul. Okay, so that's a nice connection, and that could very well work. But is it possible that there's something else? So I'd like to share with you another possibility. When we're told that Amalek attacks the Jewish people, it says, Asher karcha baderech, they happened upon you on the way. What does it mean that they happened upon you on the way? So Amalek's entire thought process is, everything is bimikre. Everything is happenstance. There's no rhyme or reason of why anything happens. It just is. So I decide that, you know, I'm walking on the street and something happens to me. It's not because there was any greater being that determined that that's going to happen. No, that's how nature decided to take its course. That's Amalek's entire being and nature. And so what bothers them about the Jewish people is that Jewish people believe in God and they say, no, there's this concept of hashkacha pratis that God cares about every detail. Amalek says it's impossible. Who cares about every detail? Impossible. If you think and reflect a little bit, isn't that what Haman is all about? Isn't that how the Megillah seems to roll? The Megillah seems to be a story of, it just happens to be. This Vashti happens to upset the king. The king happens to decide to bump off Vashti or make her disappear. And subsequently, Esther becomes the queen. Why? I don't know, just because. And even when Haman is picking a day, what does he do? It's an arbitrary thing. He didn't look at the calendar and say, I don't know, what would be a good day? We got to pick a good season. He draws lots. And when he draws lots, what happens? He pulls the month of Adar. He pulls Yud Gimel Adar. What he's saying is, it's all bimikre. It's a pur. It's just a lottery. That is the nature of Haman. That is the nature of Amalek. Comes along God and says, it doesn't work that way. That the idea of Purim is that there are many things that are hidden, but that doesn't mean that God is absent. You might not see God's presence, but God is there. And his hand is moving all the pieces along the way. Comes along the Megillah and says, that's what we celebrate. If that's what we celebrate, isn't it so appropriate then that the Haftorah and the laning leading up to Purim, the special edition, is one that reflects the idea of that when the world says it's bimikre, that's only what the world says. But we know better. We know it's not bimikre, but Yad Hashem is there.